The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to Backstory. Let's hear it on WTBR-FM Pittsville with Roberta McCulloch-Dews. Thanks for tuning in. So today we have with us Cindy Shagri-Raymer. She's the Vice President and Director of Community Development at Greylock Federal Credit Union. Cindy is one of Greylock's longest-serving employees with nearly 40 years at the financial institution. Cindy has worked her way up from her first member-facing role back in 1986. Beyond her professional work, Cindy is equally passionate about volunteerism and community service, including her very own initiative, Lenten Labor of Love Project, which we're going to get into in a moment. But Cindy, I just want to thank you for being here. You have an incredible story, and I'm so excited to get into it.
Well, thank you, Roberta. It's a wonderful snowy day out there, so glad we're Zooming in today.
Oh my goodness, it's so crazy. And yes, the power of technology helps us to accomplish so much. So, you know what, I hope everyone's staying safe and warm, and thank you for today's conversation. So I just wanted to, you know, go into a little bit about your background. And I think it all starts back when you were growing up. And, you know, in just doing the research, Cindy, one of the things that I was able to come upon was your speech, right? For you're the 2024 recipient of She Knows Where She's Going, presented by Girls Inc. of the Berkshires. And in your speech, you talked in depth about your experience growing up. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting was you mentioned that you had old school parents. So I need to ask, what does that mean? Because old school, you say old school today, that can have so many different connotations. So what did that mean for you growing up?
Yeah, good point, because old school is me right now, since you did comment that I've been here almost 40 years. So I'm going to put a little qualifier out there before we dive in. They hired me as a toddler, so we're going to hang on to that there, youth.
Because you were very smart.
But definitely, my parents absolutely were old school. They were second generation immigrants. My mom's family came down from Canada, and my dad is Lebanese. So I've got that Mediterranean background and very, very paternalistic. And, you know, was brought up that, well, you know, the boys go to school, they go to college. And, you know, that really wasn't in my repertoire. And anybody that knows me, you tell me I can't do something because I'm a girl, it's gender related, or then you're just like stoking that fire to make me want it more than anything. So I set out on my own journey because I knew, well, mom and dad, you know, didn't have tons of money to send me to college. Mm-hmm. But I was very blessed to have a job at Greylock, and I started just going to night school. So work full time during the day, moonlight on the side as a waitress, and take classes in the evenings, and picked away at that for many, many years. It was very, very important to me to get that degree. Yeah. And my brother had no interest in that. He wanted to work. So you got the daughter like, I want the education, and the son going, I'm going to work. But because of all that, I'm just so thrilled to say I got 3 degrees, not just my BCC degree, which I really love. I love BCC.
Yeah. So, Cindy, you mentioned, first of all, congratulations on all of your achievements, because it's hard, right? It's hard to do a lot of that and go to school and work simultaneously. And, you know, you mentioned chipping away at it, and anyone who's done that knows that it's a sacrifice along the way. Growing up and knowing that your parents, your father in particular, may have had this sort of this view, how did that vibe in the house? Because you seem very like, I kind of know what I want, and this is where, you know, I'm going to put my mind to it. And, you know, if you have this sort of old school vibe, how did that kind of, how did the two perspectives align or not?
Definitely a challenge. I think what I had going for me is I was kind of his mini me. So Even though, you got the daughter, you got this strong-willed daughter who, really has a lot of your qualities, looks like you. And it's funny because as they saw me chipping away, saw the, accomplishments, they started realizing, this is important. And they actually were very supportive and thrilled. And I was so happy when they attended my graduation from MCLA because that's something that it wasn't out there. I didn't dream of that as a child, but as I grew older and they did come around and support it and were they admitted, I think a little begrudgingly, honey, you were right, but so it was definitely a step forward. But I think they just saw that the dedication, it wasn't something taken lightly. The grades were earned and that was being applied to a job. So we kind of learned together. And as I would learn things and share, I'd bring them home and it's like, all right, mom, you're going to get a credit card in your name because that wasn't allowed then either. So I kind of helped break down barriers for her too, as I was doing them for myself.
Was that revolutionary to do something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. She, being a stay-at-home mom, she did have a job when they were first married, but then when she got pregnant with my brother, dad was very insistent that no, you need to be home. And so she gave up her career. She was like an office manager and she, stayed home and ran that house. Like it was amazing. Everything was just so perfect and very, I really admired my mom and we became best friends later in life. And I just really saw her strength and her wisdom and her resilience. Even though she gave up that career, she dedicated herself to her family, her grandchildren, her community. So I do relate very strongly to, I'd say, the qualities in both parents.
When you were as you mentioned, chipping away and balancing and really charting out a path that really was your own, what kind of gave you the strength to keep on that path? Because, anyone, again, it's hard, right? And if you're doing something that really hasn't been done before, it can feel very daunting. So what, where along the way did you pick up inspiration to keep going?
I would definitely say from some of my colleagues, I've had some amazing mentors. Like as you had noted, working at, Greylock, formerly Pittsfield GE Employees Credit Union for 38 years. There were some really wonderful women as well as men in my life that were supportive and encouraging. And even in my speech, I did do a shout out to Gwendolyn Filio. And Gwen was my manager when I worked in the accounting area. And she actually encouraged me to come into accounting because I was afloat learning all these things. And she just saw something in me and kind of took me under her wing and encouraged me to enter her department, apply. And I did, and then I worked really closely with her, and she knew I was going to school, and I was complaining, and I'm like, "Oh, Gwendolyn, this is taking forever," because I was getting my degree from BCC. Changed my major 3 times because I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up, so I kept flipping it around, and then I finally did settle on, a concentration in, banking. It was one of those joint where we used to work with, financial institutions and BCC, so I did that. And she said, Cinny, she'd always call me Cinny. She goes, Cinny, you're going to get that bachelor's because, you're in accounting, you're doing all this finance stuff. And I'm like, oh, Gwen, that's going to take 5 years. And she's like, Cinny, 5 years are going to go by. Are you going to be 5 years older with a degree or 5 years older without? And it was like, ding, 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 time stands still for no one. And so that just resonated with me so deeply, Roberta,
That's
that
powerful advice.
I've shared that so many times, and it's very impactful. So, thank you, Gwendolyn, to this day for really inspiring me that way.
You mentioned that she saw something in you, and I think just going back to the power of people of who are like mentors and sponsors who they lend their voice, they lend their support to help the next generation. And at the time, you didn't know
No.
that she was watching you. You didn't know that she saw something in you that could be cultivated to its higher purpose and for nothing in return, except
True.
just wanting you to succeed. That is a beautiful, beautiful blessing and privilege, because
Yes.
not everyone has the opportunity to have people in their life to say, I see something in you. You're going to go far.
That impacted me so deeply, Roberta, that I don't know if that kind of stoked the fire, but I try to do that. And being here so long and working with so many people, I have actively and passively mentored many, many folks that have come through Greylock and helped them on their journey, either throughout different levels here or even to find their passion externally. But just really dig deep, because you're going to work for many, many decades. You don't want to hate what you do or take it lightly. You want to find that passion. What drives you every day? What makes you want to get up and make a difference? Even if it's a tiny difference, you want to make that difference. And I always try to dig deep and find that passion within the people that I chat with.
So you obviously have, because, I want to get into that you're in your dream job, as you have noted. But as anyone knows, as you're working your way up, you perhaps maybe you're in a role that you're like, this is good, or okay, I could see myself doing this for a couple of years. So when you first started back in 1986, you probably had no idea that you would have had such the journey, such the experience. What did each role tell you? What did you glean from each of the positions or roles that you had that maybe provided you with a lesson that has inspired you to this day?
Oh, everything you do, whether it's been a great experience or not so great, it always contributes to the person you are today. And I'll be honest with you, for years and many jobs, many different things that I've done here, I really didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up, per se. I never had that passion. I used to always be jealous of the person that said, "Oh, I want to be like an airline pilot," or they just had some vision, some dream. I only knew that I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to be happy. I wanted to contribute, but I didn't know what that entailed. So I would throw myself into every job. And I started, like I said, as a teller. Then I was floating. And then, of course, got captured and pulled into finance. And I have to admit, throughout my career, I have done jobs that didn't exist. Like, for example, even the internal audit job, we didn't have an internal audit position many years ago. So that was kind of created, and I was going to MCLA and did some research. So I was kind of killing two birds with one stone. I was taking care of different credits, creating an audit manual for Greylock at the time, sanitizing it, to not say Greylock, so I could get some credits through MCLA for the extra credits that I needed to graduate. So by creating this manual, I was able to do two things. And I just looked at every single role as an opportunity to grow, learn, enhance your skills, and then you just develop all this amazing institutional knowledge. So, as I did go department to department, certain things would kind of follow. So, maybe in a role, if I walked in the door, these things really wouldn't be part of the job description per se, but they would kind of follow until I would have to divest and train others. But I always share with people, no matter what you're doing, throw yourself in, get as much out of it as possible, because you never know. Those skills might come back. They're going to enhance, they're going to pave the way for that next job that you're not always going to know what it is. I mean, look at our technology, Roberta. It's crazy.
100%. It's when I think, and if people can think about where they start, and then where they are today, people have no idea. You have no idea, and everything that you're sharing, the advice, it's timeless. Yes, we might have more things at our disposal, and I always say again, technology is always ticking, and there's always a new thing. There's always that. But there are also, I want to say, timeless principles
Yes.
that stand. It doesn't matter what year it is, it's still going to be relevant. And that concept of making the most of every opportunity, and no opportunity is wasted, no
No.
moment is wasted. But you have to, sh but that's a mindset, Cindy. So I want to,
Yes.
let's dig deep into your mindset, because that's a mindset to think that way. In order to do it, you have to first think it. And would you say that your mindset was cultivated by the mentors you had, cultivated by your your sort of innate can-do attitude that you always had? Because to take on something that has never been created before, and to do that work and to approach it with a sense of, I can do this, that starts with your mind.
True. You have to get rid of I can't. And if it's never been done before and you are the entrepreneur, you're paving the way. So how can people judge you that you're making mistakes when it
Is
really,
that what
really
you thought?
existed? I was thinking, I'm gonna give this a whirl, gonna try. And I would also look outside. So if anything was being done, externally, for example, like the internal audit position. We didn't have one here at the time, and they put me into the role to actually grow it. But I was also able to like check around, is there anything on the national level, any place else that I can get external training, access, mentoring? And I was able to do that. So I would travel twice a year because there was an Association of Credit Union Internal Auditors that was out there. So I was able to join that group, glean ideas from them. Ironically, they started gleaming from me, and it kind of grew organically, but it's a lot of sharing. And I have to say, in our industry, I see more sharing and less competition. So I don't see like a hoarding of resources and knowledge. I see a lot of olive branch sharing of, here's a smaller institution that could maybe benefit from doing it this way, or here's a document that we've used. Then we would trade, like, Cindy, have you done this particular audit? Well, yeah, I have. Let me give you that. And by the way, have you done X, Y, and Z? And then I would find that as well.
Being that you've seen so much over the time that you've been here, has that always been sort of, has the industry always moved that way?
In my experience, yes, I've always seen amazing collaboration within credit unions. There's just, I don't know, like a different mindset. I get calls a lot. I've spoken on national level where people will just reach out and ask you for information. And I notice when I reach out and ask, I don't get pushback. So there's a lot of, I don't know, a lot of sharing quid pro quo. You're on the East Coast, I'm on the West. There's some similarities, there's some differences, but that collaboration and that sense of community, I love it. It really dovetails into my values as a person of wanting to share, wanting to help. And, there's enough need for everybody out there. So if we collaborate, we can just make more inroads. I don't need to like corner the market and, address a certain issue if I can work with other people and we can collaborate to address it collectively. I think there's just greater impact in that.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that again, approaching work from that position of arms wide open versus closed, and definitely there's more to be had with that kind of position. You're in a great role. You are in a role that you
My
get
dream.
your dream role. You get to do all of that collaboration. You get to have those conversations. You get to have make a tremendous impact within the communities that we serve. Talk a little bit about the work that you do and the impact that's felt.
My pleasure. I truly, this is not cliche. I really do love what I do. I love to educate and share and just celebrate. So, the major parts of my role is to create new products and services, which I absolutely adore, and I work very collectively with my team. I would be remiss if I said I work in a vacuum because I do not. I also call my colleagues that work with me in community development the dream team, and they're so unique and so brilliant and just so caring. I always say I can hire somebody and I can teach them to do anything, but I cannot teach them to care. So when they walk in the door with that empathy and caring, we say, we need products. What's missing out there? We'll brainstorm. Then we'll tested out what needs are for different communities, be it our new Americans, be it African American. We've done the studies of the redlining and what can we do better? What about low income? What about moderate? What about the working person? So, really getting into what do people need? What are they saying? Listening to them, that helps with the whole creation of your products. Also, education. I love the education. There are so many like urban legends out there on credit. It just makes my head spin, and I really cringe sometimes. Well, my best friend told me A, B, and C, and I'm like, oh my God, no, step away. And it's like, please come to the class, read this. And we don't should all over you. We give you these options. So, Roberta, you're here at this point in your life, and you want to be in this spot in 5 years. Here's different pathways that might help you to achieve that goal. So, you want to give people opportunity, education, support, encouragement, but ultimately, they need to embrace that decision. So, if you have the products, you have the coaching, because I oversee a team of coaches. We have the five of us in the Empowerment Center, but there's 31 scattered throughout Greylock. Having that cheerleader, per se, that educator, that person in the background that you can bounce your ideas and questions, and if you stumble, they're going to dust you off and stand you back up. It's that three legs of a stool, and that's my job is education, products, support to really make incremental differences that really lead to the achievement of goals and dreams.
Do you, and I know anecdotally, is there a story or an experience that resonates with you that maybe from someone who just experienced maybe such challenges and now is at a place that it's great and you just think about that help and that support that came through the Community Empowerment Center that was really vital to sort of that uplift. Is there something anecdotally that you recall that you could share?
Oh, so many stories, but some major themes are people that, I always say life happens, that have been kicked, have either made a big mistake or came out of a divorce or came through an illness and their credit is destroyed and they feel so hopeless and they feel like there's nowhere to go and they're dealing with maybe one of those god-awful online predatory lenders and they just come here saying, I have nowhere to go. I don't know what to do. I'm desperate. And then you can break it down and you pull their credit report and you go through it and you explain and you collectively create a plan of action and just show the individual that was then. We can't change the past, but we absolutely can change the trajectory of your future. How bad, it's where you want to be. How bad do you want it? And if folks have the ability and especially the desire. I'll tell you, desire is so strong to commit to certain changes in lifestyle. When they start like seeing things happen, for example, being crushed by a lot of debt, but not to a point of bankruptcy, and you've got like 10 credit cards, will maybe attack one and then they pay that one off and it's gone. And you're like, oh my God, you're down to nine. And then you do the nine and then you do the eight. It's kind of like a diet. Hey, I lost 5 pounds. Yay, let's celebrate. And then it gets up to 10. So you're really celebrating the steps forward, which helps you to achieve the journey. And we approach so much of the coaching with attacking the low fruit, getting those successes, which will actually spurn you to take on the bigger challenges and move forward. And it's just such a beautiful thing to see that celebration of the goals and achievements. We celebrate with our members. We love it.
It's being in a place where you get to to see the journey, I think is there's a level of you have to feel proud because you get to see the starting point and then you get to see where they end up. And I don't for a minute say that this is probably not work that doesn't come with its ch without its challenges, because
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
sure it's not just one zip line straight from starting
No.
point to finish line. It's circuitous sometimes, and maybe there are stops and goes. But when you can get that person to finish their financial journey and get to the part or the point where they are good, whatever good means to them,
Sure.
there's that sense of fulfillment. I got to ask you, Cindy, because one of the things you have been, you're really passionate about education. And you've been really passionate about a particular topic within education, and that's around fraud.
Absolutely.
And so there was something that you really, you've gone sort of that extra mile of sharing, even a situation that is kind of goes right home to you in terms of fraud. Would you care to share a little bit about what happened to you?
Absolutely, because fraud is no longer if it's going to happen to somebody. Fraud is when. And that's kind of the focus of what we're dealing with now with the technology, artificial intelligence. As you said, I have worked with fraud all my life at Greylock. I have helped people with all the different scams, help them when they've become victims. I'm super careful. But guess what? I too was a victim. So as good as I am about checking everything, not clicking on those hot links, not answering all these phone calls that are popping up, on my phone, I still was compromised. And essentially all of us have been. There was that huge, huge data breach of, Equifax a few years ago. There was another recent one down in Florida of public data, and it was a good 30 to 40 years of data. So my social security number, address, date of birth, everything that's me is out there, and unfortunately is with millions of others with all the different breaches. So when you have all that data floating around out there, it's just a matter of time before somebody somewhere is going to use it. So my story, really quickly, I was working from home because I'm hybrid, so most days I'm in the office. This particular day I was working at home. Got the mail, and there was a letter from I won't say the institution, but it was a very large financial institution that was asking me for additional data. And I'm like, I didn't apply for anything here. But my fraud training told me don't just call the number on this letter, because the letter that was sent to me, that could potentially be the scam. And if I were to call the letterer and share all this other information, I could be opening the door that way. So I went online, called a phone number for the institution, and worked my way through all the different departments, and finally got to their fraud department and shut it down. And it was a huge, it was like a $25,000 business credit card that the fraudster was opening up in my name. And I'm so thankful that this institution reached out for additional information so I could shut it down. But now I'm in a panic because they got pretty far with that application. And that spurred me to, all right, Cindy, practice what you preach. You've been telling people for years to do credit freezes. And so I stopped everything I was doing, took a half hour to my day. I called each one of the credit bureaus. You can call them and or use, the online access and our Greylock website. We have all this information. And I put a credit freeze on every bureau. So now, if I want to get a car loan, a personal or credit card or whatnot, I'll just have to talk to the lender and say, who are you getting my information from? And then I will personally contact the bureau using my credentials, my PIN number, they're all different, and do what's called a credit thaw, so that way the lender can get my data and then, approve me for the product that I'm seeking. So I am now in control of who can put things into my credit file. And I will back up for a second. Creditors, you still get your score updated. Everything is still moving along. All your lenders are still able to put or the information into your file. But if somebody is requesting new credit, that's where that credit freeze protects you, because that new credit comes in and it hits a wall and says there's a freeze. And so that way, if they're trying to just automatically approve you based on a score, they're not going to get it. So that's where that comes into play.
Cindy, this is such invaluable information. And I am so sorry that it happened to you, but in a way, it was you knew the right thing to do. And I think by you sharing your personal story, It helps others to know what to do and to, to make credit freezes something that's not some this foreign thing, but to help them know that it's a tool in their toolkit to protect themselves. We're going to get into more of your story, but we're going to take a quick break right now, and then we'll be back in about 30 seconds.
Whoa, like what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on the Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure? Coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community.
Ron, where are you?
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
WTBR.
All right, Cindy. It's a pleasure to return back to our conversation. For my guests just joining, I have with us Cindy Shagui-Raymer. She is the Vice President and Director of Community Development at Greylock Federal Credit Union. And Cindy was just sharing her story about how she actually had an experience with fraud and the tools that she had to do to sort of enact to protect herself, and sharing some of her tips. So she's really vocal about it. She's very passionate about it, a no holds bar approach to making sure that everyone knows what they need to do as well. And Cindy, at the end of our conversation, you know, we can share some resources where people can go to learn more, so that they too can have the tools that they need to educate themselves. I know that in addition to your work that you're so passionate about, I also know that there is another side of you that you are passionate about, and that's your community service work. And I want to take it back to 2013 when you were with your mom and you were thinking about what to give up for Lent. And, you know, the word is that you were, you know, not coffee, but wine and chocolate were those two things that, you know, you love a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I slipped and said coffee because I love coffee. But those are two things that you love a lot, and you instead of those things, you said I might do a little thing differently this year, maybe do things a little differently, and you decided to start an initiative that has bloomed into a huge project. Let's talk about your Lenten labor of love.
My passion project, yes, never tire of this. So you're absolutely right. I chatted with mom and I said, instead of giving up, I want to give back. And that very first year, so for the 6 weeks, you know, during Lent, I went out shopping and I started buying health and hygiene aids and to give to people living in shelters. And we made, just mom and I, just buying, we made 25 packages. And that first year, I wasn't sure which direction I was going in. So the first year was all focused on men. And we ended up going to Barton's Crossing. And there was soap and shaving cream and, you know, the disposable razors and shampoo, condition, body wash, all the different things. Because, You can get food, at the pantries, you get a nice roof over your head, but to have your own supplies to, clean yourself up when you're looking for a job or going out and making the different appointments, it just gives you a nice sense of self. And these products are expensive, so being able to do that just seemed like it's making a difference. And I was so thrilled that we did get a little bit of press on it. So I was so happy to have the press, not to say, oh, hey, look, Cindy's doing something great. It's like, join me. I'm one
Yeah.
person.
Was that the first year that the
Yeah,
press?
2013 was the very, very first year we did that.
Wow.
Then you fast forward and my dream came true. So I started getting text messages and emails were like, Cindy, you gonna do it again? I said, well, yeah, my dream is to, do multiple shelters and, reach out and get to different organizations. And one of my favorite years was just before COVID, because by then, we started in 2013, so keep going every year. It's growing, growing, growing. In 2019, we set a record, and I do have to be, shout out to Greylock and John Bissell. Thank you for letting me use our one of the rooms that I worked in, because I was able to set up what's called assembly line tables. So we had a table for the kids, a table for like packages dedicated toward women, a kid, packages toward men, and I ended up having over 30 volunteers stream in over the course of three different, 3 hours, and we made 300 care packages. It
Wow.
was so cool. Oh my God. So 300 packages in 3 hours, that's like amazing. But it's the power of people. I had so many wonderful people come in, friends, family, colleagues, they all wanted to be a part. And some dropped off money, some dropped off product, others rolled up their sleeves and they built those packages with me. And if you work with me, I'm kind of like a drill sergeant with that, where it's like, well, got a little strictness going in here, because if you're in a shelter and you got two kids, I don't want them saying, well, mommy, that the
Right.
Sally got two packs of crayons and I only got something different. So I'm very rigid with the contents of the packages, and they are all full size. I don't want little samples of shampoo. I want a full size, so that way you've got product to last well over a month. So that was just a cute
I
thing.
want to get into what you're saying about that, Cindy, because it's almost like you're putting yourself in the space of the person receiving the package. The care, the thought, not like, well, here's just something, right? Here's just a bag.
Right.
But here's a bag that has been put together with thought, with love. We want whatever we're giving you to last. And, again, because you had noted this in parts of this work in your speech, and you talked about how giving feeds the giver.
It does. Roberta, I will never ever forget. I was, and I always have people come with me. So people that have participated, I invite, because I also want them not to just see the building, but to see the impact. And one day, we happened to be at one of the shelters, I won't name which one, and there was a woman there that had just gotten through surgery, and we were bringing in our packages, and she asked me, she goes, can I have that? And I said, absolutely. Which one do you want? And she picked out one. It was all purple and it had, the purple puff and everything in there. And she started to cry. And then we just started hugging each other. She goes, this is so beautiful. I want this in my room. And I got tears streaming down my face. My friends are crying and we're just hugging her and we're so happy. She was thrilled to have something beautiful. And I said to my friends when we left, I go, that's the impact. That's the whole meaning behind
Right.
this, as human beings and what we're doing collectively. Because guess what? Life can happen. This could be
Yeah.
me sometime. I'm the one that's in need. And if I have somebody that's doing this for me, that
Right.
is one of the most beautiful gifts out there. Because you never know when nobody's guaranteed a perfect tomorrow. So let's be humble.
Oh boy, you're right. It's humanity. it's fragile.
Yeah.
Fragile. And, you know, I think, again, on a personal note, you experience that, you know. You know that firsthand, the fragility of it all. And, you know, I think, again, you've spoken about the strength that has come from understanding, too, firsthand, mm-hmm. how things can change in an instant.
Blink of an eye.
How the Cindy that we see today, let's talk about that strength, and let's talk about who you are today and how you have come from your own personal moment of change.
I do believe strength also comes from pain, and you never truly realize how strong and how resilient you are until that's all you have. And I was so, so close to my mom, and that was the first time I ever experienced death that was so close to me. And I was in my late 40s, and like I said, mom had gone from being my mom as a young girl to being my best friend in adulthood. And we would go out every Saturday that I had off. And if I was off, we would do breakfast. If I was working, we would do lunch. But that was our time to go shopping, eat together. She didn't drive, so I would drive her wherever she needed to be. And we bonded. So losing her to cancer and not being able to stop it, that really cut me to the core. But it also was a huge lesson to share, treasure those beautiful moments, take pictures. I would drive people crazy with pictures. And if anybody is a Facebook friend of mine, they know Cindy drives us up the wall with those pictures, but I'll tell you.
It's on Facebook.
Those pictures are priceless memories. And I've also had people thank me because they'll take the, you know, make my pictures available. It's like, use them. And we've used them for different, you know, memorials, different celebrations, different milestones. So you got to celebrate those moments. So losing mom, that was a tough one. Then, unfortunately, my dad passed 5.5 years later, but he had been in a nursing home and he was, you know, very ill toward the end. And when you're holding someone's hand and you know that they're a prisoner in their own body and you tell them, it's okay, I'm going to be okay, let go. Those are the hardest words I've had to share. And I did that for my mom and my dad. And dad died just before COVID started. And I've shared with people, it was a blessing because when you're in your 90s, you have dementia. He wouldn't have understood why his daughter wasn't able to come see him like she did every week. He would have, in his mind, thought I was mad at him, and I wasn't. So I did share with people, this might sound cruel, but it was a blessing for him to have passed. But if you really dig deep and look at the quality of life and the connections and that need to see others, you'll understand that that was, in fact, a blessing and was best for him to now join my mother. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of helped. But then losing my husband was a whole nother story that was not on my radar to become a widow at age 55. Not on my radar, no. But that was something that was another extremely, extremely hard thing. But that's where community comes into play. And my friends were there. My colleagues were there. The people that I volunteered, they were there. And the love and support and kindness was just so amazing. And it just makes me want to continue to give back and share my story and help other widows, help anybody that's struggling to say, yeah, you're going to fall, but your community is going to help you. They're going to get you back on your feet and you're going to be stronger. And then you're going to help others that are falling around you and you're going to stand them up too. And that's what we really need to do. Pretty deep, but it's from the heart.
It's deep, it's from the heart, and it's almost, you know, your heart was always, it was going back to that 2013 time, your heart was always open then, mm-hmm. and it was almost like going through the level of pain, right, and tragedy, it tested everything that you said I believe,
yeah,
and I'm going to hold fast to, and you made it out to the other side.
And it reprioritizes you. I will tell you, things that would make me crazy in my 20s, I don't even give them a second thought at the age I am now, because it's like, in the grand scheme of things, that is nothing. You got to let that go. But that's where that wisdom comes in, and that's where the resilience and the reprioritization. And you look at what you hold most dear, and objects can be replaced. People cannot, and it's the relationships that we cultivate. Those are truly the priceless gifts that we have, and I wouldn't trade my friends, colleagues, or family for the world.
Wow. I think, especially during this holiday season, you are sharing things that are a poignant, it's a poignant reminder. You know, I think in the hustle and bustle of so much, and we're long past the days of people trying to fight for TVs and all these things that we used to see. It's much different now, but there's still a version of craziness that occurs, even if it doesn't look like that. And what you're saying is to, you know what, stop. Whatever craziness you're choosing to participate in, stop and think about what you're doing and why you're doing it and what really matters. Because like you said, what does matter? And the things that you think that matters, they really don't. And I think it's, again, this season where the little things can drive us nuts. The lines can drive us nuts. Someone, you know, cutting us off can, you know, all these things. It's a reminder of staying grounded, staying focused, and understanding what one's priorities are.
Take a breath, you know.
As simple as that.
It's crazy, but another thing that I would definitely share, and I encourage my team, I encourage me, because I'll tell you, I've struggled with this my whole life, Roberta, that's life balance.
Yeah.
I get so driven, but I'll tell you, I take the time now, I do yoga. So that hour of yoga class that I, you know, try to do at least twice a week, that's my downtime, my hour, my to just worry about is my body moving correctly, am I breathing correctly, and it kind of recenters that, and being outdoors. And I am one of those.
And you're a runner too, right?
I'm running, oh Lord, 52 weeks out of the year. And
good for you.
Funny that you mentioned that, because Sunday is one of my favorite runs. So for all you runners out there, in Northampton, they're having their hot chocolate run, and there is thousands of people. And the beautiful thing about the running community is 99.99% of these races, they are to raise funds for causes. So Berkshire Running Center's Thankful Run raised a lot of money for our food pantries. The one I'm doing in Northampton on Sunday is for Safe Passage. And for our Berkshire County residents, Safe Passage does the equivalent of the work that the Elizabeth Freeman Center does here. So all the money raised is, you know, to help victims of domestic violence, you know, over in the Northampton area. And they make this huge event. So when you see all these runners all decked out, and yours truly is going to be wearing her elf costume while she's doing that 5K, it's for a good cause. So
and will we see pictures, Cindy? Just gotta ask. Will
we see pictures? Oh, never. Just at least 100, but
oh my goodness. Well, you know, I think as we wrap it up, I went back to the list of guidance that, because you're full of it. You have a lot of guidance to share. You are a treasure trove of guidance. And you had about 7 points that you shared with the young women that night. And I captured it because I wanted to share it, because I think that, again, these are poignant things to remember. So number one, never accept the words "you can't" or "girls shouldn't." Number two, always have a plan B, because life happens. Be flexible. Number three, Bad times will occur, but remember, they do not last forever. Number four, good times will also occur, so embrace them because they too do not last forever. Number five, take risk in your career and passion projects. Number six, encourage other women to do the same. And number seven, and never, ever apologize for being a strong, smart, bold woman. That's a great
Absolutely.
List. That's a great list, Cindy.
Believe it with every fiber in my being.
Mm. Yeah, there's something for everyone to take away from that list. I know that you specifically spoke to the girls who are receiving scholarships mm-hmm. that night, but it's something that I think has a timeless quality to it and still stands strong and resonates with so mm-hmm. many. So thank you for that. If I had to, as we think about closing out, and if I have to ask you if there's one word that you would think to describe yourself, with all that you have said, there's so many things. But if you had to choose, Cindy, one word, what would that be?
Oh, wow, that's a tough one. I keep going back and forth in my head. But I would say resilience. Life is not easy. There's beautiful moments, there's tough moments, but that resilience to share your voice, to amplify the voices of others, to pave the way for the younger folks behind you. You need resilience. You need to be able to be told no when you can't and circumvent it. So I would say resilience is very deep in my soul. I was toying with that and, compassion, but I think they kind of go hand in hand.
All right. We'll take that in again. It's your word. So whatever your word works, I think it's a perfect word that fits you most appropriately, especially your life journey and your story. It describes you well. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Again, this has been a great conversation, Cindy. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Thank you for taking us a walk down memory lane and demonstrating and reflecting through your experience that if you have a goal and a dream, it doesn't matter who supports or who doesn't, keep going. And yes. Along the way, the people who are meant to be there will be there to help you, help you along the way.
Definitely believe in power of attraction and right. like minds, you'll find that. And sometimes in the most unlikely places, you will find somebody. They either saw something on Facebook or they met you at a road race or they happen to be a colleague that didn't really know something about you. There's all these amazing, wonderful connections out there. And I do think they happen for a reason. What is it? You meet people for a reason or a season and everybody, it all plays into the amazing human being that you are today.
That's
and
right.
I just really love those connections.
Oh, thank you. And to my guests listening, thank you for joining us on this journey and this conversation. It's been a real pleasure. So everyone, you've been listening to Backstory. Let's hear it on WTBRFM Pittsville with Roberta McCulloch-Dews. Thank you so much. And I hope you have a great day.